Coach Bill Belichick is with us. Hi, how are you, Coach?
Doing well. Doing great. How's it going?
This is sort of like preparation for going to Miami in week one, isn't it, days like this?
Yeah, it's a good warm day out there. So, really, yeah, that certainly is.
We were looking at the weather forecast. You got another one even warmer tomorrow. It's almost like room service for you getting ready.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. I mean, it's hot. It's hot. It's tough, but we need it. And you know, I thought the guys really, really worked hard today. I thought this, you know, probably one of our better practices of the whole camp. So, you know, give them a lot of credit. They knew what it was going to be, and they pushed through it. It was good.
And knowing that you open up in Miami in September, guys understand, at least your veterans understand that, and you can't replace what you can accomplish today and tomorrow with this kind of hot, humid weather.
Nope, it's been good, and you know, like you said, hopefully we'll get some more of it tomorrow. We can use it.
Coach, tomorrow is the first major cut down day of for teams in training camp. 15 players per team, basically cut down. I did the quick math. That means 480 football players tomorrow at 4 p.m. will be looking for work. Do you have a handle, do you think, on all those names? If you were interested in a guy, would you have a pretty good idea of what you were dealing with if you wanted to look at a guy?
Maybe in some cases. I think it depends. But honestly, we're not that concerned about you know, what everybody else is doing. We'll see the wire like everybody else does, and when it's there, then we'll take it. I mean, certainly a lot of the guys that we've looked at on other teams around the league that have gotten, you know, very little playing time, or, you know, they've just come in for a series of two in the fourth quarter, that, you know, I mean, I think you have a pretty good idea they're not going to end up being roster players. But, you know, everybody's situation is a little bit different, and whoever's released, that's, you know, 480 probably be, you know, 450 or 430, because there'll be a few guys that'll be on some type of, you know, injured list, PUP, NFI, whatever it happens to be. But there'll still be a lot of players out there, and we'll just, you know, work our way through that, see what, you know, see what's out there. But you're right, it's a big lot of names, and then we'll have probably close to 1,000 in a week.
1,184 by Saturday is what I was looking at.
Right. So, yeah, it's a lot to process, and, you know, our pro personnel department, Nick Casario, and his staff are certainly stretched to the max here in these next, you know, 10 days or so, with trying to, you know, keep up with everything and see if there's anybody that, you know, that we want to follow up on.
You announced four cuts today. James Anderson, Tommy Kelly, Will Smith, and Justin Jones. Three of those veteran guys, Anderson, Kelly, and Smith. Is part of your decision to do it a little early to give them an opportunity in the job market maybe before this glut of players hits tomorrow?
I think that does help them a little bit from that standpoint. You know, I think, you know, not some of those players probably wouldn't have had a big role in this week's game anyway, and you know, we wanted to make sure we got a look at some of the players, younger players that we do want to see that maybe have played a little bit less. But in any case, we did what we felt like, you know, we need to do what's best for the team, and the guys that are here will get their opportunity, and some of them didn't play as much last week, and they'll play more this week, so we'll see how it goes.
Coach, is there any hard and fast rule about the makeup of your team in terms of veterans and younger guys and whatnot, or is there some formula that you have in terms of, okay, I need X amount of older guys, X amount of young guys? Is there anything there that comes into play?
Well, I think you always do have somewhat of a mix, but, you know, each year is different, and each mix is a little bit different. I think each team has to define its own personality and takes on its own characteristics, so we'll just have to see how that goes. But I've never felt like a strict formula that mm-hmm. had to be hit. And as you know, Steve, there's a number of examples. We've had guys like Devin McCourty, who was captain in his second year,
right.
Gerard Mayo was captain in his second year. I mean, sometimes guys that are young still take on a strong leadership role. They don't have to be 10-year veterans. So it just depends on the individuals and just how it all comes together, really.
Sure.
Coaches talk about opportunities, and players get opportunities and try to do the most with it. Because Gerard Mayo was unable to play, you were able to see other players with the green dot on their helmet and making the calls. And how did you think that all went for your defense in the game on Friday night?
You know, overall, not bad, Dale, because, first of all, we didn't practice against Carolina like we had with Washington and Philadelphia. So what we got in the game, we had a different type of preparation for than we had the previous weeks. And so I thought that Steve Beharnes and James Morris both did a good job as far as getting the calls, making some adjustments, communication on the field. Of course, there were, you know, a few things that needed to be fixed and we didn't do perfectly. But overall, I thought they did a pretty solid job, and you know, it was a good opportunity. Of course, Hightower didn't play, and I thought Jamie Collins really did a good job of taking over, you know, kind of part of that role too, in terms of you know, handling the defense from the inside linebacker position, and not only playing well, but also helping the people around him play aggressively, and you know, get them, make sure they were in the right position.
How much do the games? What's the formula in terms of how a kid performs in practice for a young guy? How a kid performs in practice and how he performs in these preseason games? Does one outweigh the other, or you just look for a good mix?
Right, I think it's all important. I would say probably the most important thing would just be improvement. I think if a player is improving, whether it be in practice and games, combination of however that goes. But if you see a guy that's steadily improving, then you want to keep working with him, because you're never really sure exactly how high that's going to go. Once they level off or start to decline a little bit, then you can see sort of what that level is, and if it's not really high enough, mm-hmm. then you probably feel like, well, we're gonna have to move on here. That player's not going to really be able to help us in the role that he's in. So I think as long as they're making improvement, and you know, some guys start fast and level off and hit a plateau and then go up again, or some guys start slow and then they have a quick rise once they kind of figure it out, get some confidence, and see it enough time. So it's when you're working with a lot of new players that you haven't worked with before, you just sometimes don't really know how it's going to go with them. So I've been surprised in the past that how quickly some guys start and then they kind of fade out, or how slowly mm-hmm. some guys start and then they really come on. And it just takes them a little bit of time, but once they have it, they, you know, they really have it. So I think that's kind of more important for us than was it in a practice, was it in a game, was it against ourselves, was it a practice against another team. It's all good or bad, whatever it is, but I think when you're seeing it progress weekly, well, daily and weekly, that's really what you want to see.
Mm-hmm. In your experience here, have you had guys who maybe didn't necessarily set themselves above everybody else, and all of a sudden that fourth preseason game, you went, you know what, I see something there. I might not have seen it before now, but I've seen something there, and a guy make the team based on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd say that's probably happened, you know, once or twice every year. So, now, you know, and sometimes there are other circumstances involved. You know, it could be an injury, or it could be you know, a trade or some other kind of transaction that ends up, you know, something gets created that wasn't there. There might be something shift, but sure. But that's an opportunity. You know, a lot of our young guys didn't get to play a lot last week. You know, we had quite a bit of playing time for, you know, our first group into the third quarter, and then we played, you know, kind of those next guys. And there were a lot of guys that didn't get in. This will be a game where they'll get a lot more opportunity, and we'll see how they do with it.
It has been reported, but I'm going to learn this lesson quickly here in our relationship, to ask you first. I've seen it reported that you've confirmed that Jimmy Garoppolo is starting on Thursday. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And is he going to play a fair chunk of the game, do you think?
Yeah, I sure do. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
And what are you looking for from him? You talked about that improvement. Is that what you're looking for? Continued improvement, that he's getting the things you're trying to teach?
Well, I think in this case, it's just an experience that he needs to go through to feel like he's going to start the game. He's going to be in the game for every situation, second down, third down, goal line, red area, 2 minute, whatever it is. He has to be prepared for everything and handle whatever it is that comes up. And this is also a week that he'll have to deal with the media, deal with the, you know, production meeting before the game. You know, I'm sure the fans will have plenty of insults for him when he walks out on the field. It's an away game. It's, you know, it's all the things that a quarterback eventually will do as a starting quarterback. And whenever that happens, I have no idea. But whenever it does happen, at least he will have done it once before. And so I think there's, you know, something to be learned here. Ryan's been here 3.5 years. Tom's, you know, done it a couple hundred times. So this is an opportunity for Jimmy to get that experience, and I'm sure he'll learn from it.
With your focus on improvement, have you seen that improvement from the young wide receivers that you brought in last year?
Oh, I think they're a lot better than they were last year, no question. Yeah, they made a big jump in the offseason. And, of course, Aaron hasn't had a lot of opportunity to be on the field more just recently, but just from an understanding standpoint, assignments, adjustments, recognition, a lot of the little things, the subtle things, the signals from the quarterback and formation changes and those type of things, that's all come a lot easier to, you know, all three of those guys, KT, Josh, and Aaron, and of course, you know, LaFell's Brandon's a new receiver for us, but he's really picked things up well in this training camp, and you know, he's done an excellent job all the way around, both in the passing game, the running game as a blocker, in the kicking game. He had a couple of big blocks on returns last week that Julian had, so he's shown up and helped us in a number of areas. So all those guys have done a good job, and I think we're way ahead of where we were last year with the overall group of receivers. Danny's been out there every day, Julian. So, you know, that's been good, too.
Green Bay played Oakland Friday night in a preseason game, and Mike McCarthy did something interesting, I thought. He went into the game and said his decision was they were going to go for two. They had four touchdowns. They went for two all four times, made it twice, failed twice. And they were also going to go for it on fourth down a lot more. They wanted to work on those aspects of the game. If they do extend the extra point like they experimented with the first two preseason games, will coaches like yourself look at the two-point conversion a lot differently then?
Well, I think it would depend on the situation. You know, you might. I mean, it depends on how hard you feel like the extra point's going to be, where the yard line is, whether it's on the 15 or if it's back further, and what the conditions are. I know in 2008, when we played in Buffalo in the last game of the season, putting the ball on the 15-yard line, I think that would have been a tremendous kick to make that extra point in those conditions. So, you know, if the conditions are bad enough, you might feel like you're better off going for two. You know, I don't know. I think it's an interesting... You know, there's been several proposals that I've heard that I think are interesting variations of changing the extra point rule somehow, and I'm sure they'll all be discussed in time. But I did like what we did in the preseason, the first two games. At least it made it more of a competitive play. It made it a 94-95% play instead of a 99.9% play or whatever it was. So, and I thought that was better. And I thought, as I said, I thought the play where Steve hit the upright in the Philadelphia game also showed the extension of the uprights, because that was very similar to the kick that we had last year in the Miami game in Miami that, you know, looked like it went right over the goalpost and was ruled no good. This one went over the goalpost and bounced in, so at least we had a definition of whether the kick was good or not. So I think that was an improvement, because the kickers are getting a lot of height on the ball, all of them, so that was good. But we'll see what the league wants to do with that rule.
Are you in favor of that longer extra point try right now, as it stands?
Absolutely, yeah, we proposed it.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of making it a more competitive play. I just don't like plays in football that aren't competitive, and I don't think the extra point, when you have a play that's 99.6% successful, I don't think that's a very competitive play. And honestly, I don't like, you know, 50% of the kickoffs are touchbacks. I mean, I don't think that's a very exciting play either. If we're going to have it, then let's, you know, at least get, look, I respect kickers that, you know, they hit a great kick and it's a touchback. They should be rewarded for that. But, you know, when half the kicks in the league are going for touchbacks, or a little more than half are going for touchbacks, I mean, we're not talking about great kicking. We're talking about that's a norm now, and we're eliminating a play that we've seen in the last couple of Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most exciting plays of the year. So I'm not in favor of eliminating those plays, and I'd like to see the extra point be more competitive too. And you know, extra points were more competitive when you were allowed to block them, but now you're not even allowed to block them. You can't overload. You can't hit the center. You can't push. You can't jump. You can't land on anybody. You can't. I mean. How are you going to block it? I mean, it's hard. So, I'd say the combination of all those things has really not reduced, but it's certainly, you know, compressed the kicking game to a punt and punt return game. And the kickoffs and kickoff returns, like we had in our game, there wasn't one in the game. There was Stevens' bunt at the end of the half because there was only a couple seconds left, but all the rest of the kicking game was touchbacks on both sides, so there were no kickoff returns in the game. And again, the extra points and field goals are, you know, marginally competitive, so all you have are punt and punt returns. And I like the kicking game as part of football. It started that way, and I think we should retain that competitive aspect of it.
listening.
We appreciate the time as always. Good luck Thursday. We'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks. Coach Bill Belichick joining us here on a Patriots Monday, Sports Radio WEEI.